question from Yamuna.
Yeah.
Before during japa, she did on this. Srila Prabhupada once taught that you should meditate when you're chanting japa, pray to Radha Krishna that please engage me in service. So she was trying to do like that, and her japa was like full and complete with emotions and with this prayer. And then she was trying to meditate at particular, like specific service, which she attracted to, and then this japa became like empty, like nothing inside. And you told that first steps can be when you're trying to meditate on specific service which you like. So it can be difficult, and it can be like that. It can be empty and nothing inside. And maybe better to do like that or do like before.
There's a logical sequence in this idea of meditation on a desired objective, which is Radha Krishna's loving service in Vrindavan. So first there's a place, there's some people, there's some action, there's some seva. Basic. Anywhere. You invite some people for prasad at your house, there's a place, there's people, there's action, there's seva. You're serving them, whatever. You're the host. So you're meditating on seva, that's nice. I mean, Prabhupada's saying that as a beginning meditation, or we can go up to a very high level, but it sounds like you're going to the higher level without filling in the intermediary steps. Prabhupada's intention, having given that idea, O energy of the Lord, O Ladini Shakti, O Mother Hara, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada that's the meaning he gave us of the Hare Krishna mantra. Radharani is the greatest servitor, Aradnam, Aradya Devi Radha. And no one can serve or please or love Krishna more than Radha. So if we put our petition there, she's the PS to the Prime Minister. She's the personal secretary of the Prime Minister. So you can forego all the lower ministers and representatives because you're right there with the Prime Minister's personal secretary. That's Radharani. So Prabhupada said, put your petition there at her feet. We're petitioning, we're crying, we're begging for service because that's our primordial nature. Jivaras Rupaya Krishna Nityadas. And maybe we're a little bit in ignorance. And the Bhagavatam says beginningless ignorance. We have no beginning. We're eternally existing in this Maya Jagat. And our ignorance is eternally existing also. And we weren't uncovered and became covered. We're just covered. we're just covered, and we hope to become uncovered. So Prabhupada was trying to get us into the idea or the swing of things that, hello, guess what? You're Krishna's servant. And when you're chanting this mantra, when Das Goswami chants this mantra, according to the Bengali song collection, Padakalpa Taru, they include in there the meanings of the Maha Mantra by Raghunath Das and Vishnu Chakravarti. Although these particular entries that are there in this compilation of poems and songs, which is quite well known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Padakalpa Taru, and the page number, it's not pages, it's twigs. It's branches, twigs, and leaves or something. That's how, like this prayer, Vishnath is in the 1,672nd branch on the 47th twig on the 15th leaf. That's a way of referencing it in this book. It's a very vast book. So I had asked some of my teachers, I said, can we consider that these prayers, these meanings of the Maha Mantra, I'm discussing their meaning. I'll give you an example, the highest meaning of the Maha Mantra. Prabhupada gave us a beginning meaning that, oh, Mother Hara, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in service. And I know your question, I'm going to get to it, but I want to make a runway before we fly in the sky. at least we hope to fly somewhere in the sky of understanding this transcendental science we're pursuing. So there we see that Raghunath Das and Vishnu Chakravarti, they give very, very, very highest intimate meanings of the same mantra that we're chanting, the same Radharani we're praying to, oh, please engage me in service, blank. Please engage me in service, and then stoplight, blank. You know, what service? Well, wash the pots, cut the vegetables, go on Sangirtan, sell books, do the deity worship, etc., whatever guru gives, temple president, temple commander, etc. If we're living at home, then we have a whole agenda of sevas and related to our sadhana bhajan and a level of our own advancement and seva either given to us by our guru or generally, if one's a grihastha, the guru doesn't meddle so much in daily affairs. He gives a basic idea, love Krishna, and always try to remember him and serve him in the context of your family, house, husband, wife, children, job, etc. Like that. So, Raghunath Das and Vishnath, there we see what the meanings they gave, extremely intimate, completely from the angle of view of a manjari, because they're both, of course, manjaris. The Vinod Valery manjari, I think that's Vishnath Vinod Valery, and Champak Manjari, maybe Narottam Das. So these prayers, when I asked my teacher whether these are, can we consider these bona fide? Because we don't find any authorized, acceptable list of writings and poems and songs of Vishnu Chakravartipad and Raghunath Das. We don't find these listed there, their meaning. So then my teacher replied, well, there's two vichars, two considerations in any type of thing, which is found in Anti Leela, chapter 3, when Surab Damodar, I think it's Damodar Pandit, maybe, or Surab Damodar, the Damodar is there, I forget which the name, Siddhanta Virud Rasabhas. There's a verse there in Bengali in Anti Leela where it's describing, and then it says, crowed. It says that Lord Chaitanya becomes angry. If something was presented, different writings, different devotees, different bhaktas would present their writings, their poems, their realizations to Lord Chaitanya to read for his pleasure or satisfaction. But screening those writings and, let's say, censoring them to see if they were of any okay for his holy ears to listen to. There was Damodar Pandit, I think it was probably Surab Damodar. So he had two criterion by which he judged those writings. One was Siddhanta Virud. Is it against the Siddhanta? And the other is Rasavas. Virud means against, Viros. In Hindi they say Viros. Is this writing this person is giving me to offer Lord Chaitanya? Is it against the Siddhanta, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Tattva Siddhanta? Our tattvas and truths? In other words, is it bogus? It's false. And is it rasa vas? It's an overlapping of mellows. It's, you know, Yashodas and Vatsalya Ras, but, you know, she sees Krishna dancing with, she goes out late at night in forest and sees Krishna dancing with the gopis, and, you know, there's no mixture like this. So that would be checked. So in analyzing the prayers attributed to Vishnu Chakravarti and Raghunath Das in this Padakalpatru, this collection, we have to see, is it Rasabhas? Is it Siddhanta Virud? And it's not. Neither one of the meanings are that way. So they can be accepted. Yes, the general Vaishnava Samaj over the last so many hundred years, these prayers have been in that book, in that collection, and everyone's accepting. So there we find that from the mood of Manjari Bhav, Vishnath and Raghunath Das, they're praying. They're praying from the angle that every word in the mantra means Krishna. Hari is Krishna, and Krishna and Ram, Radharaman, Ramana. And it's Radharani's mood of chanting Hare Krishna. And the mantras, these two mantras, Vishnath and Raghunath Das, Raghunath Das, who is Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, and Vinod Valery, Vishnath. They're chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and they're meditating that I'm serving Radharani by reminding her While meditating, each one of these words means Krishna in a different intimate lila. For example, Raghunath is saying Hare Krishna, and Manjari Bhav, and he's saying, "Oh Hare," and this is Radharani. This is Radharani's meaning of the Maha Mantra. "Oh Hare, you're a lion. You're a powerful lion, and you just come into the farmers and to his his pastures, and you just jump on some innocent deer and take it away. So you're sending your flute like a powerful lion, and that flute is entering our ears and is pouncing on our hearts, and stealing us away from our houses and our baths and everything, and the one earring on and half dressed. And oh Krishna, you attract me. First you steal away. You're like a lion, like a thief, lion and a thief, Hari. And then you attract me, you pull me, you attract Karshan, you attract me, you pull me into the deep forest where no one can go and no one can see. I don't even know how I get there. I can't even see, it's so dark. And then I sit on the flower bed, and it was on and on like this, very, very intimate. And I just put a little bit of the beginning of it in my Art of Chanting book. And then I thought, I discussed with some friends, I said, that's enough, don't do too much here. So that's the highest end. But you're saying, oh, I'm chanting, and it's very nice, and I'm thinking of a particular service I want to render. But in terms of, if you want to have a krama, bhajan krama, or sequence of proper bhajan, is that, okay, your greed and your eagerness and enthusiasm may be going right to that platform of rendering a particular seva, a nitya lila, I assume you're saying, although you didn't say nitya lila. Serving Radha and Krishna in the context of their flowing pastimes throughout the day and night. But first, before you get there, first you should practice meditating on, because they're there doing seva. So doing seva, you're in your siddha sarup. You have a body, and you're doing a particular seva with a particular bhav, particular mood. Not just the bhav, I'm dasi bhav, but the actual understanding the moods and bhavas of the Vrijavasis. So backing up a little bit, because that's kind of like the final end, is the seva is what is the final point. Krishna calls the gopis with his flute, so then there's the Udipan of the flute and the Udipan of the moon, Yamuna, then there's the Vibhav, there's Krishna, then there's the gopis, then there's some dialogue, and a service is going on just by the dialogue. Then finally they have their pastimes. So you would meditate, firstly, you would meditate on the Srupa of Krishna and Radha, because they are the Vibhav, Premashraya, Premvishaya. And then you would meditate on the place of Leela. Where is it? Where will that place be? At what particular time? Samacharyas, they say, whenever you sit down to meditate, just meditate on wherever your heart goes. The general teaching is that we should meditate in a rather structured way, according to the time. Hey, we're sitting down, we're meditating on Leela. We know we're busy for whatever reason. So we finally sit down in the evening, say, to meditate. So then we should meditate on Pradosh Leela, our evening pastimes. But you may want to meditate on Madhyan Leela, because you like it. Or Pratak Leela, or dressing Radharani, or cooking in the morning, or going through Terakadamba, and all that whole thing, and these things. So there's no restriction. It's rag. It's your attachment. But there's a general format that's presented that you should be on the time. So therefore, the sadhakas of rag marg, they make sure they're up, they're awake, consciously awake in all different eight asiyamas of the day. For example, the last yama is Nisha Lila, begins at 10:48 and goes to 3:36, or like that. So no, either they'll get up early and catch that Leela, or they'll take rest late. or they'll be up late and get up early. It's like, I know some devotees, they take rest at 12. They lie in the bed at 12. I'm one of my teachers, actually. But it doesn't sleep and just thinks of Leela, then at 2 some falls asleep. Because that's about the time when in the Nitya Leela, when the Rasa dance is over, and Rati Manjari and Rupa Manjari and Vilas and Rasa Manjari, then, because that's about the time Radha and Krishna, Rasa dance is over, they're in the Kunj, and they may be in a private time, and maybe one Manjari there, two Manjaris, pulling in the fan, but they're all the balance of thousands of Manjaris, and Sakis, everyone goes to sleep, at least from 2 o'clock until 3:36. So you've been up. So this one teacher takes rest at 12, somehow falls asleep at 2. No, how does it work? No, the other way around. It takes rest at 11. Takes rest at 11, doesn't fall asleep till 12, wakes up at 2. And that's it, 2 hours a day. Of course, they're old, and always old. Old souls, very mature and developed in bhajan. So they sleep 2 hours a day. Nidra hara vihara kati vijito. We sing about the six Goswamis and we wonder and yearn and and hanker and pray. At least we should sing the song and find out what the ideal is. As sadhakas no siddhas. Because that song, Goswami Yasikavan, is great. It's fantastic. It has their whole life in a nutshell. In sutras. 8 sutras. How is Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami as sadhaka and as siddha? Seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena chaturi. So you meditate on Radha and Krishna's forms. Then you meditate on the particular leela style at the time you're meditating, per your ruchi or per the schedule of the day at the time you're meditating. And then you meditate on the leela. And then if that particular service that you cherish is required during that leela, then you meditate on a leela and you observe and meditate on the sevas that the others are doing and the flow of the leela. Then when it's time for your seva, then you meditate. And that all goes on while you're chanting japa. This would be the proper system. Then you won't lose, fall flat and fall out of outer space or whatever. You said you were chanting, then you became a blank because you have to go in a proper system. This is the basic way it goes. But also it means you need a lot of rag and a lot of feelings for the ragatmikas to be like them. And so when you hear their exchanges and read about their leelas, and those feelings come into you. But it's nice if you're hankering like that, because Krishna will help you. Any yogi, any meditator, it's not you just, you know, like climbing Mount Everest. You don't just put on your shoes and climb to the top in one day. Meditation is, it's abhyas. Abhyas means daily practice. It's hard. It's hard enough to hear the holy name. And then if we figure out how to hear the holy name after a few births, then we can begin to meditate. And then that's not easy. It's hard practice. But one devotee, one guru told me, just do bhajan. Slowly but surely the light will come. Slowly but surely the light will come. At night, it's dark. It's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. It's pitch black. It's totally dark. But slowly but surely, the sun rises every day. It's a little bit of light and a little more than 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's so bright you can't look at the sun. So meditation is like that. Slowly, slowly but surely, light will definitely come. Light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody, you read about meditation, different people, spiritualists, when they're meditating, they say, oh, it's blank, it's black, it's empty, I see the inside of my eyelids, it's like black. And then gradually, because a couple of things happen during the practice of meditation. One thing is that, because ours is devotion, ours is bhakti dhyana. Is it all right when I'm talking? Is it okay? Yeah. Ours is bhakti dhyan. It's meditating on with love. Meditating on love, praying Srup Sri Krishna, praying Srup Radharani, and meditating with love. This is meditative, devotional, loving meditation. Prem dhyan. Whatever love. We have love. Every one of us in this room has love for God. We have it. If you can't, how you come to stay in a place like Vrindavan, Radhakund? Because it's so beautiful, because it's so peaceful, because it's so clean, and people are so mannerly and kind and respectful, and gentle and humble, and helpful. Is that why you come? Is it one of those amazing hot spots of the world where everybody flocks here to experience the ambience of the beauty of the people and the natural vibration of the environment and the beautiful sceneries? No, 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 all no's. So we're either crazy or we're in love or both. Because usually when you're in love, you're crazy. You're crazy to fall in love with anybody in this world. That's crazy, and it's also crazy to fall in love with anybody from that world. So what to do? It's our nature to love. We can't help it. This God has done this. He's love, and we're his part. So we also have to love. We're forced to. Love your dog. I love sailing. I love tennis. I love my dog. Yeah, well, even they got advertised. You put on the back of your Mercedes, I love tennis. I love sailing, you know, sailing boats, you know, Noka Bihar. So we love Noka Bihar also. And we love, you know, Amalaki. When one coward boy throws up the Amalaki and the other one throws an Amalaki, knocks it up, float, and it goes out that way. And another guy throws another one, knocks it that way. And they just keep that one Amalaki floating in the air by how good they are. You know, we play badminton. Badminton is just, you know, it's Amalaki gone bad. It's badminton. Sounds like a German word, mitten or something like that. Badminton. Anyway, so they play like that. So this is the point that meditation, we're practicing, and we have some, not only our steady practice, but we have ashirvad, we have blessings. Blessings of Guru. And blessed Krishna is right in our heart. It's like the mother. The mother is right there with the child. The baby's there. And he's trying to stand up. And the mother's there. Come on, kid, come on. Like a coach. You can do it. And in India, they hold a pinky finger, or let the kid hold your pinky. I know. I never had a little brother. I don't know. But maybe everywhere. But they see, hold, because he's little hand, so he can't hold your hand. He has a little, baby has a little hand. He can't, okay, let's go. Yes, so you give him the pinky, and then he holds, and that's like his whole, that's his lifeline, you know, that's his whole world is your pinky. The mother's pinky is like, wow, you know. Maybe the mother's name Pinky also. So he's holding the pinky, and then he stands up, and he walks, and he goes, and even though he's holding the pinky, then he falls. Because she can't stop his falling. That's his, he has to fall. But she encourages him because she sees his effort. He's trying to walk. He's trying to stand. So super soul is less compassionate than mother. Krishna is famous everywhere. It's Bhaktivatsalya. Bhaktivatsal. Vatsal means the cow's intense loving attraction, affection for the baby cow, like baby calf. That is vatsa. That word in Sanskrit and Hindi, vatsa means calf. Vatsalya means alia, means to have the tendency to have affection for your calf. So the calf-like devotees are trying to meditate. Krishna's in the heart, yayatama prabhadyante. Even this verse is a basic verse in Bhagavad Gita. It's not so basic. It's 4:11. Yayatama prabhadyante. You can see the writings of the most advanced Rasika Acharyas on the planet today, and they're writing commentaries on Vilokitamanjali or works of Raghunath. They're quoting this verse when they're talking about meditating on Sarupa or meditating on Leela. Yayatamam prapadyante tamsataiva bhajamyam. Okay, we learned this verse in the Bhakta program, and we have to, and we're only, our only objective is we're thinking of the temple commander. And I have to learn how to surrender to the temple commander, and I'll be rewarded accordingly. You know, he'll give me some prasad, or at least he'll get me breakfast or whatever. You know, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. That's the verse. So when they're describing the efforts of Raghunuga Sadhana by the Raghunagya Bhakta, the efforts in the Ragmarg means smaran, meditation. Then Krishna says, oh, you're trying to walk, you stupid, you know, you're falling down, you're going blank. You're going blank. Like she said, oh, it went blank. I saw, then I lost. I went blank. So, of course, that happens in the highest level of Spurtis of Das Goswami. He's totally Leela privation, the level of prema. He enters the Leela and his Siddha Sarup, his Rati Mandri, Tulsi Mandri. He's holding Radharani's feet. So tender, so fragrant, so beautiful, so soft, so much colorful. And he's painting some lakdai on Radharani's feet. It's totally real. He smells Radharani's feet with his eye of his heart and mind in meditation. He's touching, he's smelling, he's touching, he's seeing. He moves her feet this way, that way. He hears the ankle bells. Everything. Smelling is the same as tasting. So just by smelling is tasting. That's why they say when the devotees are cooking for the Lord, they shouldn't enjoy the fragrances coming out of the kitchen. Because you think, I shouldn't smell this. I mean, we were trained like that in the beginning when we joined. You know, when you're in there and smelling, you're cooking a nice fresh rotis, everything's nice, fragrance is coming. So don't smell. That's for Krishna. He's the Bhokta Ramdaka Tapasam. So you cook, but you know, try to avoid enjoying the smells. We were trained like that. You were trained?
Mm-hmm.
This is the way, because he's the enjoyer. And we don't even know what it's going to look like until we put it on the tray and make it very nice and attractive and put the tulsi leaf or manjari just the right way. And then we see how beautiful the offering is and we bring it to Thakurji. So this, he's like this, having this experience of all his senses are just by smelling Radharani's feet, he's tasting the sweetness of her feet. Totally absorbed, then he loses it. He goes blank. Then it's vilap, lamentation. Oh, I was there, I was holding Radharani's feet, I smelled their feet, I saw the feet, I tasted the feet, everything. I was absorbed in my seva. He's crying. This is the book, no? Vilap Kusamanjali. This is feeling. This is the bhavas, the feelings. How is he feeling? How is she feeling? How would I feel? So this is how this reading and praying and thinking and meditating and what you're reading, how the feelings come inside, how the bhavas come inside. So that's we try and maybe it's blank and then. And Krishna shows something, then something a little more, then little pieces of Leela, then more Leela. You see how in a devotee's life, everyone has had the experience when they're really trying to do good, what we call good bhakti, like, you know, get up early, get up early and try our best. Usually, with not too much kind of sincere, steady effort like that, we get some reciprocation. Things go well, the day goes nicely, things fall into place. Haven't you all had that experience? Isn't it? And I'm the same person. It's another day I'm going to sleep, I'm going to eat, I'm going to bathe and dress, I'm going to buy some things and cook some things and do some things and all kinds of devotion I want to do. And that every day is like that. We're all devotees. But sometimes when you say, Krishna, I'm in a rut, I'm stuck. I'm in a rut. I'm getting complacent, and I want some anubhavas experiences. So then, okay, I'm going to get up like this. So then, resolution after resolution. We make more resolutions in our devotional lives than all the countries and their constitutions and governments have ever made in time of history. They make so many resolutions and laws. We make thousands. I used to have a phrase, 1,000 schedules made, 1,000 schedules broken. Like, make a schedule. Okay, it's Kartik, I'm going to get up at this time, I'm going to do that, this, that. And you go for 5 days and then get a cold and, oh, then. But Krishna reciprocates. So the meditation, this is the life, the life and soul. Smaran. So that's good, you try. I meditate on Krishna's form and Radharani's form. And our acharyas, they have books they describe. Vishwanatha, there's Rupa Chintamani. Rupa Goswami is describing, everyone's describing, meditating on the Radha Krishna's forms because they're the Ishtadevas. Then the place, what to speak of your guru. Everything begins with guru and sustained and maintained with guru. And then the lila. And then lastly is the seva. On that level of practice, then the seva. But in the beginning was, please give me seva. That's like I used to make a joke. Temple presidents, I was a temple president, temple commanders make a joke. For 2 hours every morning we're chanting, please engage me in service, please engage me in service. And as soon as the devotee finishes his job, we say, Prabhu, could you drive to the airport and pick up this devotees coming in, you know, some nice devotees. Oh, no, it's just like, I'm busy, you know, and I don't feel good, and it's too cold, and, you know, that car doesn't have a good heater, and it doesn't even work even. You know, discount cars are kind of junky. So, wow, that was a really good job. Please engage me in seva. You're praying for 2 hours. Like if somebody knocks on your door and begs for food, will they have to wait 2 hours? They'll wait for 2 hours and get no food? Are you that hard-hearted? Somebody knocks, sir, can I please have some food? Can I please have some? No! No! You're going to say no for 2 hours? And then, so, you know, obviously you'll give him something quite soon, quite quick. And maybe Atiti Narayana, maybe Narayana coming in another form. Out of the titi means a titi Narayan. Titi means the time sequence. Some other question? Or someone else, because you have your whole long list, but you're here, you're kind of here, and they're going there. You're going there?
Yeah.
we can't even mention, we'll just say here and there. There's only two choices. You're here. Oh, you're there? Yeah.
Yeah, I have actually three questions. Two from Mukunda and one from me.
Wow, three for one sale. That was clever. You must be German. He's Russian. He only has one at a time. Three for one sale. Okay, go for it.
Two are from Mukunda. So okay. I'll start with one from him, and then if you have time for more, we'll see. Like, first question...
Ask yours first, because you're here.
But Mukunda will listen for the lecture. I think he will be very happy.
Yeah, so he can hear the lecture later, so okay. you ask him. Well, I'm glad to see you're an old-fashioned housewife. Husband first. Very, very rare.
Okay, my question is actually, I'm wondering just that it's always said when you come to Braj, your heart will soften. That I mean,
it didn't tell you how many lifetimes.
Yeah. It's supposed to be
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, your heart's soft.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like natural process to come here and soften the heart. But then when we are here in the practical level...
Can you
say
any reference for that quotation? That if you come to brush, your heart softens? Mm. I mean, your feet get thorns and stuff like that. But I don't know if they get softened. They get calluses and they get kind of hardened. Your feet get hardened, but your heart gets softened.
Yeah, this is my question.
Have you read somewhere?
I cannot right now say the reference, actually, but we hear it often in the...
It says, Riyata Samstrino. So the symptom of bhava is the heart becomes softened. Mm. That's the nectar devotion. Masrino. Masrino means softening a lot. But that's, if you come to Braj and you attain, you know, eventually, by being in Braj, just by living in Braj, we can attain Bhava Bhakti. Then our hearts will become soft. That's one reference I can say about Bhava. Wherever you are and you attain Bhava, that Bhava Bhakti descends from the Parishads into the heart, or from Krishna directly by Kripa Siddhi. And then the heart will become soft. And then it'll be the playground of Krishna's Bhakti Ras and all these experiences of Bhava. But what about Braj? What? And you say like that, but I never read that anywhere.
Guru Maharaj said it a few days ago in the lecture. Do you remember if there was any reference? I don't remember. But he made this, I mean, the statement has been made many times, but I also don't have a really clear reference, actually.
I would say that Braj, the practical experience of Braj is that You know, Braj is Krishna. So Krishna will even in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's addressing Vrindavan as a mother. He said, Vrindatavi Mata. There's some shlokas there in Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Vrindatavi, Tavi means forest. All forests of Vrindavan, you're like my mother. So in other words, Vrindavan is very personal. It's a srupa of Krishna. In the Padma Puran, they explain how the different parts of the different 12 forests of Vrindavan are the 12 parts of Krishna's body, and Yamuna is his veins or arteries or whatever. I can't remember. There's a description. So Vrindavan is not different from Krishna, worshipping Vrindavan. So as Krishna teaches us and softens us or hardens us or stretches us or bends us or breaks us, so does Vrindavan. Krishna tests us, Vrindavan tests us. That's why I said last week, I said surrendering to Vrindavan means surrendering to Krishna. I said that during the course of discussion. Surrendering to Vrindavan means surrendering to Krishna. Oh, I can't live here, it's too hard. Do it. Because Krishna is noting, Krishna will reciprocate. He'll reward that one who's done can say. I can say. You know, I came here in 1987, I'm here still by the grace of Lord and Guru. So, by surrendering to Vrindavan, Vrindavan is Krishna, so all the mercy of Krishna, all the power of Krishna, all the blessings of Krishna will come to one who surrenders to Vrindavan and lives here 24/7, 12 months a year. He doesn't take the summers off to Manali and the winters, no, summers to Manali and winters to Puri in South India. People do. They have the money. That's not exactly surrender. Krishna's here and you're going elsewhere. Famous story that Baba Ranavadi, there's a village near Suryakund called Ranavadi. And there's some Baba there, I think his name was Krishnadas. I think he's one of the siddhas of Vrindavan, considered siddha. He was a Babaji, you know, Vairagi, sannyasi, and he was Gaudiya Vaishnava doing bhajan there, meditating on Astakali Leela and his siddha sarup. And somehow, in his old age, he had some desire to go to see Dwarka Dham, because maybe he had seen some of the other dhams, he wanted to see that dham. And then Radharani came in his dream. He had that conscious desire. He was thinking about it. And Radharani came in a dream, Swapna, and said, Baba, not a good idea. Stay at Nai Braj. You're getting so many valuable, deep meditations and experiences. Why you run away? So somehow he didn't take that dream very serious. He went to Dwarka. And then when he came back, he tried to do bhajan. And he couldn't do anything. His mind was full of vikshep. Vikshep means distraction. Jumping here and there, here and there. He couldn't meditate on the lotus feet of Radharani or Krishna or the Leela or anything which he was doing before. So then he didn't know what to do, so he consulted some other siddhas, advanced devotees, and said, What happened? And he told the situation. And they said, oh, you went against Radharani? And Radharani told you not to leave Vrindavan, but you left Vrindavan? Now, because Radharani's displeased, you know, you should just go from here, go back to Dwarka. You're not fit to stay in Vrindavan. You should go. So then he just sat and he heard that instruction or that recommendation, but he couldn't do it. So he sat there and he felt, oh, I can't enter the Leela, I can't meditate anymore, I can't see, and Radharani's not happy with me. So then in the great separation, he was deeply meditating and he gave up his body. And different stories, they say his body caught fire automatically and burned up to ashes. And they opened the door of his kutir, and just in that spot, inside his kutir, where there's a pile of ashes, and the kutir was not burned or any smoke or whatever. And different stories, they say. I've heard and read different places. Siddha Baba, Ranabadi Siddha Krishnas. And he's so, that's a few hundred years ago, about 300 years ago, he's such an amazing saint of Braj that every year all the Babaji's from Braj Mandal, they go there to Ranabadi. I mean, so many, thousands. It's around this time, December, end of December, January, somewhere or so. And they all go there and have a big utsav. There's some lectures in kirtan and, of course, prasad, all in one day. And everyone goes there almost religiously, like visiting some holy place. Different religions have their famous holy places. So all the Babaji's go there to pay their respects to Siddha Baba. He was considered a Siddha, although he... And then they... I don't know what their idea is. I went there once or twice. And my idea was that... everyone has a different idea. They all go there. I guess there's a reason. I don't know exactly. Just to honor... Basically, they go there to honor him because he's considered Siddha. He attained spiritual perfection in his own way. I don't know exactly how it panned out, but when I went there, I was just praying to him. I said, please let me never leave Braj. And let me someday have the kind of sportis and visions you were having when in your bhajan time. So Braj, you're saying Braj is supposed to soften the heart, but I've been coming so much, my heart's still hard, yeah?
I wanted to say that sometimes externally spoken, it's even more harsh sometimes, you see, like, the dealings are so harsh, and we have to be
harsh.
Your
heart is one thing, and the heartless people is another thing.
But if everybody is trying to cheat you every moment, and try to take advantage of you, you have to become more harsh, you have to become more hard somehow. And then I was wondering, it seems to be a contrast here.
In Churchill, when they were bombing England, I don't know whoever they were, the anti-party, and some war was there, and Churchill was in charge of England, and everybody was crying from all the bombs on their head, and he was saying, oh, England, with all thy faults, how I love you. England, with all thy faults, how I love you. There was no food, no electricity, no water. Everyone was getting blown up. But still, he said, England's a great place. So, Braj, it's a fact that as you open your statement by saying that if you come to Braj, your heart becomes softened. I agree with that fully. I had not read... I'm not at the level of Baba Bhakti by any means, but when the heart truly becomes softened by various ingress of Bhav and mercy of the Lord. But I've seen that living here in Vrindavan, the heart becomes soft and open to the reality of the inner heart of everyone around you. And all this external covering of these untoward dealings and rude behavior, or even rude to the point of crude. In case of men and women, sometimes it can be rather crude interactions. But underneath it all, there's a lot of heart in these people, very, very deep hearts, and very devotional for the most part, and the actual Brijbasis that have lived here for generations. Their external facade or veneer is a smokescreen to bewilder us and to cover their true nature. And someone only comes briefly and goes, they don't catch the inner side of the Brijbasis. Like, for example, in these holy places in Braj, like Gokul, Varsana, Radhakund, there's the Brahmins, the guides, they call the guides, or the gurus, the Tirth gurus, what we call the Pandas. Panda means pandit. They're supposed to be pandits. and tell you all the itihas and histories and leelas of the place and engage you in proper yagyas and pujas. It's not so expertly being done these days. It's rather a little different, but they're still called panda, abbreviation for pundit. And they actually do a drama on the yatris, the pilgrims that come here. They play a drama with them to try to get money and whatnot. And then when they go, then they all just laugh and joke. And it was like, it's like people selling books in the airport or something. Kind of get over on the people a little bit. Kind of bewilder them a little bit with yoga maya. Maybe take advantage, not so good, but it has been done like that. So that's, then if you're accepted and known to them, then you see both sides. And when the yatris walk away, they're speaking in Hindi. These pandas are the rudest guys in India. They speak the foulest language. I'm never coming back to this place, Radhakund. This is what they're saying in Hindi when they're leaving. Because the pandas, they say, he's a very rich guy and decorated, looking like rich guy. And he gives like 50 rupees. And then they tell him, they say, what is this? You know, he said, what do you think I am? I'm a beggar. I'm a Brijbasi. I'm a pandit. This is what you want me to remember you by. And then the guy gets angry because they're hot-headed, you know, most people. And he says something. Then the Brahmin gets hot-headed. He says, I curse your wife if he's newly married to have 7 girls and this and that. I mean, you know, 7 anything is too many. 7 boys, I mean, it's costly. You know, either way you go, it's going to be costly. So, and then the guys, the yatris leave very angry, and then the Brahmins are very like this. And then as soon as the guy walks away, they turn around, they go back to the front of Giraj, and they start laughing and joking with each other. Because I've been sitting there in front of Giraj, watching this whole thing, listening to Hindi. And then they come back, and I said, yeah, what happened? You know, kya hua? And I already heard the whole thing. And I said, that guy's a jerk. And they just laugh it off. So it's a little, Vraj is a little, you know, it's a little different. You have to be, I don't know about Vraj makes your heart soft. It makes your heart softer. It makes you humble. It makes you really humble. Tolerance, humility. The money becomes, our sense of ego becomes diminished a lot. And that's an impediment to the flow of pure bhakti. Ego is a big thing for you and me and every one of us. So I would say, I don't know about heart softener, but I definitely say that Vrindavan is an ego equalizer. Ego equalizer. It's like you may be Alps ego, but the Alps ego meets Himalayan ego. Swiss Alps, that's big, and then but Himalayas. You know. So then it must be some equalization. I don't know if that answers your question. And as far as softening your heart, it's definitely becoming the proof. What is the proof that your heart's becoming softer by visiting Braj? What is the proof? The obvious proof. She keeps visiting Braj. That is the solid proof. You also keep visiting Braj? This is it. There's no other proof. This is solid proof that your heart is becoming soft. If I was to leave Braj, my heart hard and heart sound the same. We say heart and they say hard. It's almost heart. Heart. Hard. Hard. and heart. It's like we have, sometimes you say we have a rock for a heart. We should have our heart in a rock. Right, Giriraj? Our heart should be in the rock, but our heart should be in the rock of Giriraj, but our heart should not be a rock. That's the thing. So now, Kunda's question?
Kunda's two questions.
One of his questions is that it's said that while preaching, and you know, we are not supposed to destroy people's faith. We are not. We shouldn't destroy anyone's faith while preaching.
But no, first, you have to create it.
Yeah, like the question is like, where is the border? Like by any kind of preaching, you are actually destroying some faith in someone.
Scratching my head.
This faith, any preaching is just
the question, the statement, or whatever. Preaching, we're told, and Krishna says in Gita, don't disturb people's faith. But Krishna himself, he violated his own rule, because Arjuna had faith in serving ancestors, serving the family. And serving ancestors is higher than serving God. So Krishna himself broke his faith. That's the whole Gita. So Krishna himself is saying, don't. We used to hear that preaching doesn't mean we're not disturbing anyone's faith. We're simply interfering with their independence. Preaching means interfering with the jiva's independence. Because our independence is we're going to hell, or going opposite of God, for the most part. So we're trying to say, wait a minute, stop, you know, you're going hell-bent to hell. Turn around, go to God. Prabhupada, if you look at Prabhupada's preaching, he says, we don't want to convert people. You know, there's one thing, because faith, disturbing faith, hinges on the idea of conversion. You're trying to convert me. So that would, you know, my faith, religious, my faith. Faith means my belief in God. Faith means what? Faith in God. So Prabhupada, he wasn't trying to disturb anyone's faith. He said, we're not trying to convert anyone. We just want everyone to love God. You can love God as a Christian, as a Muslim, as a Hindu, but they're so-called, they're not proper Hindus, not proper Muslims, not proper Christians. They're saying, quote-unquote, I'm Christian, or Protestant, or whatever, variation, Hindu, Muslim, etc. But we're not really showing love of God. Because they all... So Prabhupada was teaching this. He said, you have a name for God, you chant his name. You follow God's laws. Be a vegetarian. And Prabhupada tried to trace out everywhere in all scriptures you can find some discussion that encourages actual people to be vegetarians and Christian scriptures and Muslim scriptures also, supposedly. So he was saying, follow the laws of God, sing his name in your own language, in your own faith tradition, and love God. So how is that, if someone's, and that's how Prabhupada preached, so how is that, how is that breaking someone's faith? As far as someone is a Gnostic, he's sitting on the fence, as the phrase we use, he's sitting on the fence. And there's a fence between two properties, you know, border, boundary wall, fence. You know, one, Mr. Jones lives here, and Mr. Smith lives here. So you're sitting on the fence. If you're sitting on the fence, you're not God. You know, that's agnostic, basically, sitting on the fence. Maybe God, maybe not. So then, that's where there's an open field, where you can plant seeds in a field that doesn't have, it's not full of crops. There's all full of crops and sub-trees and vegetables and fruit trees. Well, how you plant any seed, it'll get smothered out by the other vegetables. No success. You have to clear the field. So preaching, where it's to an agnostic or someone who's submissive, you preach to the submissive and those that are curious. I mean, there's four kinds of people that approach God. Those that are suffering, those that are curious, those that are, want something. That was in Gita. So they're coming to a temple, they're coming to a spiritual place, and meeting spiritual people. Why do they come? They only come to eat. Then let them eat. Don't disturb their eating by preaching. That's their faith. Their faith is in Krishna food. I mean, the traditional thing in ISKCON was to sit down at the Sunday feast and preach to somebody. Everyone was telling, preach, preach. And everyone would just like to eat before the guests and go sleep somewhere. You know, the true bhaktas, you know. But those few valiant warriors that, you know, had to preach. You know. So I think you have to diagnose the patient first. Then so it's not disturbing. Someone comes and say, you can even ask him, say, would you like to talk about God? Would you like to have some discussions about Krishna? No, I just came for the food. Okay. So you go to the next one. If your ambition is to preach. Because most people are shy. Most people are shy. They want someone to talk to them. About God, you know, in the temple. And they want someone to open up a dialogue. They may come many times to a temple. I remember once I preached to someone in Los Angeles. He said, you know, I've been coming to this temple for a year, and no one's ever sat down to talk to me. They did, because he had looked like a quote-unquote dirty hippie or something like that. You know, which maybe half of us were too, who knows what. So he said, you're the first one to even want to talk to me. So I talked to him. Now he's a devotee. I mean, that's his destiny. Not that I had anything to do with it, but... So he wanted someone to preach to him. He didn't have any particular faith at all. He's looking for Krishna. I guess it's not what you do, it's how you do it also, how you preach also. I mean, Prabhupada, he had a way of preaching to people. You meet all these different people, and he would really tangle with them and challenge them and argue with them and defeat them in many ways. But they all went away smiling. And they all went away happy and even remembering Prabhupada. I was interviewing people in 1981 for the Leelamrita, and they met Prabhupada in 1969 in London, and like whatever that was, 11, 12 years before that, never saw Prabhupada again. And they still remembered him. Oh, he was a sweet gentleman. You know, we had a good talk. And even that person's interview was there, and probably makes a total fool of the guy and really exposes his foolishness. But the guy still remembers, oh, Prabhupada's so nice. Swamiji's so nice. So that's the speciality of the preacher. Prabhupada said the preacher has to have the heart of a Bengali grandmother and the courage of a British officer. Whatever that means, I don't know. Apparently they're pretty courageous. You have to have courage, and the heart of a Bengali grandmother means soft, compassionate, caring, we can imagine, loving. So you have to have a soft, caring, loving heart and be courageous. That's the preacher. And like a Bengali grandmother, give them lots of sandesh and rasgulas. These are favorites of Bengalis. So in other words, give lots of prasadam to your guests. Another question you have?
Yeah, the other question was that he was just listening to your recordings of your lectures during Kartik, and somewhere you had mentioned that we should worship Prem. We shouldn't concentrate on worshiping Krishna, we should worship Prem. And he wanted you to, if you can elaborate on this, but it really means.
The idea is, I was saying, which I've heard this discussion, seen an article about this also, thing is like this, we're not exactly worshippers of Krishna. This is Obiel Kapoor's book, the philosophy and religion of Sri Chaitanya. Obiel Kapoor, great disciple of Bhakti Sananta, great devotee. He's in Golok. So he said, we're worshippers of the sweetness within Krishna. Mm-hmm. These Madhurya Purushottam. And what makes us attracted to Krishna? What makes us run after Krishna? It's the sweetness of his dealings. And that sweetness is the prem. Sweet prem. So because God, Krishna has a form of Ram and he has a form of Vishnu, and we're not attracted. We're not much interested to read about, hear about, chant about. So he's also God. They're one. They're one in tattva. Vishnu, Ram, Nrsimha, Krishna. They're one, completely one in tattva. They all have the same powers. They all have the same ability. Vishnu can become Krishna. Krishna become Vishnu. They change forms in different leelas. And Paitagram, Krishna becomes Vishnu. And then Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Vishnu became Krishna. And Lakshmi became Radharani. Or Gopakumar, they turned into two-arm form, and turban, everything. And Gopakumar said, no, I don't think you're not quite the Krishna I want. Somehow he can understand the difference, you know, the sweetness, that Braj Bhav. So they won in tattva. But it's a special sweetness. And Rupa Goswami has analyzed there's four special sweetnesses of Krishna that drive everyone crazy. Vena Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. The sweetness of his flute playing. The Swarga Devis are coming over Braj during Ras Leela. They're riding in their vimans with their husbands. And they hear Krishna's flute. They're sitting on the laps of their husbands. And it's, I guess the driver is driving the plane. And they're sitting there on the laps of their husbands and they're orbiting over the Braj. And these Swarga Devis are hearing Krishna's flute. And they hear Krishna's flute and they start heaving. They start, oh. And then it's motayata. Motayata. Motayata means the body shrinks due to ecstatic ecstasy in the heart. But and then their clothes start to slip off, then they faint, and they fall off the laps of their husbands and collapse in the flower airplane. And then just from the sound of Krishna's flute. It's so sweet. They can't even see Krishna. They're just hearing his flute. Vena Madhurya. Then Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. Lakshmi Devi just saw Krishna once and she became crazy. Oh, this form is so beautiful. I must attain. This is my Vishnu, but he's in this form. So sweet, this Rupa Madhurya. But she had this Mahishi Bhav. She couldn't get the Gopi Bhav. Lived in Braj. Did tapasya in Braj. She's still there in Bailvan. Next month is Posh Mas. This is Marga Shirsh, then Posh, then Mag. So in Posh Mas, all the Brijvasis feel pity for Lakshmi Devi. They take pity on Lakshmi Devi. So all the temples, the different seven temples in Vrindavan, they take turns making Khichdi Bhog. Because you'll see it on the calendars too, Radharaman and other calendars. In Posh month, they offer Khichdi Bhog to the deity. It's supposed to be very warming and very nice thing to offer in winter for some reason. We're so used to eating Khichdi and ISKCON. It's like 12 months a year, but. but in Braj, it's considered a winter prep. You go to Nandagram, Barsana, Narli Lao, and others will be offered Khichdi during Posh month. Which now it's Uzam Vasya, now it's in about 12 days this month will be over, then the really good time starts. It's going down now, it's going, temperature go more down. The 10 days now is the 10th. Yeah, December 25th, like Santa Claus, you know, Merry Christmas. From December 25th to February 1st, then it's really nice, cold, very cold. So then Khichdi Bhog with cloves inside and dry raisins and kishmish. No, nice quality. Good quality. Very, very nice. You go to the temples. You go, you get Mahaprasad, you go Radharaman everywhere. In Polish month, you get Khichdi. If you're lucky, that's a special book. So all the seven temples take turns and they make big Khichdi and they get on a boat by truck, the pontoon bridge. And they cross over the Yamuna at Keshigat and they take this big pot and mini pots, and they take their cooks and all their pujaris, everybody goes there to Bailvan, Lakshmivan, and they offer that Khichdi to Lakshmi Devi. Because it's cold, she needs some Khichdi, you know. Otherwise, she just eats these bale fruits. She's sitting under a bale tree. She eats these bale fruits and some bilva leaves, and pretty austere. So they offer, and then there's a big mela there, and all the people from Braj all come and take darshan. And I've been many times. Every Thursday is the day. That's the day to worship Lakshmi. Every Thursday in a month of Posh, and a big mela there. All the guys lined up selling sweets and balloons and kids' toys. thousand of Rishvasis, they all go. That's the place to go in that month. They all go to pray, to bless, to give their blessings to Lakshmi Devi. We bless you that someday you can become a real Brijvasi and have real Brijbhav. Because you're very poverty stricken and you're very poor. You have so much gold and diamonds and thousands of servants and golden palaces and gold Rolls Royce, everything. But you don't have this Brijbhav. You don't speak this gully language. Gully language means these dirty words. And you don't treat people nasty like us. And you know, no, you have to become Brijvasi. Then you can. Then Krishna will run after you. He'll break in your house and steal your butter. He'll run down to the Yamuna and steal your clothes. He'll call you with his flute. He'll come right under your window of your husband's house. He'll walk right under your window and play his flute. And he'll look up and he'll say, "Oh." When Krishna comes to Yavat, there's Yavatgram, there's Nandagram, and Yavatgram, Barsana. So Yavat is very nice because Radharani is either Barsana or Yavat. So Krishna, when he goes for Gocharan, wherever he goes, he either comes from the road, brings the cows back to Yavat, and then Yavat, then Nandagram. Like you have a stopover, you fly from London to Dubai to Delhi. You know, they have these. So Krishna always has a stopover. Gocharan Leela, then Barsana, Nandagram. Gocharan Leela, Yavatgram, Nandagram. Why? Radhesham. Radharani is 3 months in Yavat, and 3 months in Barsana, then 3 months in Yavat, and 3 months like this. Six and six. So the road from Vrindavan side and Koshi side over there, going to Yavat, goes to Yavat, and then there's a ring road around Yavat, and it goes to Barsana and Nitya Leela. But then there's a road you can go all the way around. Like this is, say, Yavatgram, the palace where Radharani lives. And the road comes like this, and then you can go this way and go to Nandagram. Or you can go all the way around. Or on four directions leading into the village of Yavat, there's four gates and four roads leading in from the ring road. You know? There's a ring road, and go in this way, or that north, south, east, west. Then there's big gates there and chokidars, everything. So Krishna, when he's coming, he gets on the ring road, and he goes up to the main entrance, east entrance, and he parades right inside the city with all this antaranga bhaktas. First he's coming all the cows and Balaram. They hit the ring road, and Balaram and the boys and the cows, they all go over to Nandagram. Then Krishna goes right and goes in with a small group, a coterie, a small group, goes in the east gate and walks right under Radharani's window. The road goes right under, there's a palace, there's a wall, a boundary wall, and it's big hot, and then Krishna's playing like this. Then the mantris say, "Look, he's there," and they pull Radharani down into the footpath. So Krishna goes wherever Radharani is. What was the question? I got lost in the Leela.
Why
we're worshiping Prem? Because Krishna is so sweet. And this is an example of his sweet dealing. So personal. He makes an arrangement to come into everyone's heart. He doesn't go around your heart. He doesn't take the bypass road or the ring road around your heart. He comes right front and center, right into your heart through the east gate, main gate into your heart. If your heart is open. Your heart is open for Krishna. Radharani's heart is always open for Krishna. So this sweetness we don't find in any other form of Godhead. So we're worshipping this sweetness in Krishna. And that's, we're worshippers of sweetness. If you take out Holy Leela, and you take out Julan Leela, and you take out Makanchor and Ras Leela, then you'll still worship Krishna. And then you have Vishnu. There's no cows in Vaikuntha. There's nothing there. No, the gopis, at least there's no pasture. The gopis saying Bhagavatam, there's no pasturing grounds like this in Vaikuntha. So maybe that's some cows, they just sit around and give milk. But there's no pasturing grounds like we have in Braj. Goshta, it's called Goshta. So we're worshipping the sweetness within Krishna, which is his sweet prema. And Krishna instills that prema in our hearts. That's what it means to attain prema. When Krishna instills the prema in our heart, so our hearts become totally sweet, and then Krishna relishes the sweetness of our heart. So then Krishna, it's an exchange of Krishna. We're worshipping and relishing and worshipping the sweetness or the prema. We are worshippers of the prema and sweetness within that prema, Madhurya prema of Braj. And when Krishna, when one comes to the level of bhava, and Krishna instills bhava, he puts that bhava and prema in the, he gives his own prema, his ladini. Because bhakti, pure bhakti at the level of bhava is ladini, shakti, and samvit. Cognizance, awareness of Krishna. We see Krishna, we see ourselves. This is samvit. Complete vid, samveda, samvit. Complete. What's more complete? Knowing God is complete. From Krishna comes everything. If you know the complete, Om Purna Purnamidam, then you have everything. This is Samvid and Lajini. So this he instills in the heart, that's prema. Then with that prema, we become relishable. And Krishna relishes our seva and our association. He's relishing his own prema through us. Other question?
Usually the practice chanting of holy name, and personally in all of these years I feel more inspiration from Harinam, when they chant his holy name in Harinam, singing Harinam.
Sankirtan.
Harinam Sankirtan. Yeah, and not every time in japa. And so I think what much better do more japa, okay, but we should to do more japa also, more and more.
Brahma Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. There's Nam Sankirtan and Japa. It's a universal experience everywhere. From the time of Lord Chaitanya on, and there's greater ecstasy and greater bliss and anand in Harinam Sankirtan than in solitary chanting. This is everywhere there. Who would know better than Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur? He chanted 64 rounds times 3 lakhs a day. And Manasik Jap and Upam Suat, and then the last one was in Kirtan. So he's preaching in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Harinam Sankirtan is 100 times more than Japa. 100 times more benefit. Benefit means you get something. You benefit means, like someone says, what's in it for me? What benefit do I get? Oh, you get these benefits. And that, you know, if you work for our company, you get retirement, you get medical insurance, you get free transportation, benefits. So it's 100 times more benefit from congregational chanting. So benefits means the ecstasy, the joy, the experience, the realizations, the revelations. He himself is telling. And he was chanting 15 hours a day. It took him 15 hours a day, 16 hours a day to chant 3 lakhs. It's being told. But then when he did Harinam, he's preaching, he's 100 times. So everyone's experienced. Everyone feels that, because that's all Krishna's power. Everything is in holy name. But when it's just one chanter, one holy name, there's just your power of surrender. The holy name is unlimited. Sarva Shakti. Nija Sarva Shakti, all my power is in the holy name. But our power to receive all that power of the holy name is only one. But when we add 20 people, and then 30 and 100 people, now 100 people, 100 power. One power to receive the all power of the holy name becomes 100 power. So you just increase by 100. So he doesn't even say you need 100 people. He just says Harinam Sankirtan is 100 times more beneficial for you and everyone around you. Because if you're just chanting Manasik, Rupamshu, no one can hear you. That's obvious. But the benefits, not only doesn't mean it benefits all the living entities, he says it, but it benefits this living entity also tremendously. That's what you're saying. Everyone's experienced it. Have you ever chanted a japa and after the eighth round you just start jumping and dancing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. I never saw it too many times. But in Harinam, it's either you're copycatting, you know, whatever you American slang, you're imitating the other person, or it's a group high, or you're actually in ulas, or whatever it is, it's your experience. When it's all said and done, you're the one that danced, you're the one that heard, and you're the one that chanted, and something made you moved you, the music, the rhythm, the melody, your memories, the person, your smaran, whatever. The japa is, but the sankhya is there. We have our order from guru, and I know one devotee was telling me, he said, why do you always go on the street and do Harinam, do sankirtan? I was saying I like to go, I don't always, but whenever I can have opportunity, we go out and chant in the streets. So he said, you do Harinam for your deities. There's one Bhajranandi. He said, you do Harinam. Because one time I was here, and he said, why are you hankering for doing Harinam? He said, just go in front of your deities and get Madanga and Kartal and just chant. Sing loudly Harinam. And you'll also be 100 times more blissful. And it's true. I've done it. It's nice. Krishna says in Gita, Sarvato Paniparam Tat Sarvato Kshiromakam. He says, everywhere my hands and eyes and faces, hands and legs. Sarvato Kshiromukam. Muki means, Kshira means head. Muki means face. Head and face and eyes. Sarvato Paniparam Tat Shruti Mal Sarvaloka. Shrutimaloke, he says, my ears are everywhere, I hear everywhere. So when we chat Harinam Sankirtan for our Thakurji, he becomes so happy. And we become very blissful there also. So he may be stuck somewhere here and there in some village or someplace where there's no Harinam. Sometimes one devotee goes out by himself, he's a real trooper, and and that's nice. And he gets a little crazy out there by himself. And maybe he gets people to join, he or she or whatever. You ever hear of this one crazy person? If he wasn't crazy in love, not crazy, that's not really the right word. This one person went to America. He went out by himself and did Harinam. Can't say he's crazy. That's not correct, but he was totally in love of God. But there's only one person went and did Harinam, played the cartels. And then the rest is history. 50 years ago. 50 years ago, one person at this time of the year, November. November, exactly this time of the year. I don't know if he was in New York now. Came in September, October. Went to Butler, Pennsylvania. And maybe spring of 67, 66, I guess. Whatever. Fall. He was in the park. Chanting, one man, one devotee, Prabhupada with cartels, and every people came. How much benefit that was. My brother heard Prabhupada. My brother was living there at the time. He's 6 years older than me. He's living in that part of the town, and he saw Prabhupada, Prabhupada sat next to my brother in that park, Tompkins Square Park, alone with my brother, and preached to him for 45 minutes. Try to disturb his faith. Didn't work. But it worked on his little brother. So he was fortunate, but I'm more fortunate. And all of we are also, that we took up seriously what Prabhupada came to give. Yeah, that was a question. Or what were you saying?
Yeah, but my point is yes. Thank you.
So do more kirtan if you have dilemma about.
Usually,
first you have your order to your guru. Guru agya, your order from gurus. So you have a fixed sankhya you have to do. Mm. And the rest of the time, do harinam and put on your deities with your family, alone, or on the streets, alone, get some other people. Bring some kartals, or bring a gong, that's easier to play. Buy a couple of small gongs in India and put them in your bag. When you go to the park, you know, with a mridanga or kartals, then you sit down and then people stop and sit with you. So listen, I'll teach you this, a nice instrument. You hold it like this and a little stick just go dong, dong, dong. And you give people a gong. So you can borrow and you can play music with me and we'll sing this mantra. And they'll join you, then they'll go away. So much joy you feel that way. Yeah, Bhagavati.
So is this just the mood of the commentators or you read this somewhere else? And I also was wondering, I mean, Matsya Avatar, or they don't have entrance.
Vibhatsa.
They don't have entrance really in Braj Ras, so how can they be presiding deities?
You were saying... And thus, you were reading a commentary in Das Avatar Stotra about the different avatars are representing different rasas. Of course, you know, ras is not all. There's prithvi ras. Prithvi means earth. There's rasas experienced in the earthly plane by regular people. All the different, the whole science of ras is, it was developed and recorded by Bharat Muni. He wrote Natya Shastra, which are the shastras describing drama, acting and drama. And so there he discussed these five Mukhi rasas and seven Gona rasas and all the different Vyavachari bhavas and all these sancharis, all these coming and going. Sanchari means moving, coming and going, feelings and emotions that occur in the relationships with people and exchanges amongst people. And their life exchanges and experiences, the science of drama, the science of ras. So this Rupa Goswami studied all that, and then he presented the science, the alokic ras, the spiritual ras, the understanding of Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, that Krishna is the Murti, he's the very form of unlimited rasas, Akhila Rasa. Rasamrita Murti. So when we hear, I read, there's also one place in Nectar Devotion. It says that the rasas have different colors and these different deities represent different rasas. It's there in Nectar Devotion also, I think so. And I haven't seen many commentaries on that. I happen to have one Nectar Devotion here. I don't know if I can just find it right away like that. But I haven't read any commentaries other than if you take the Das Avatar, obviously by their nature, what they look like physically and what they did practically, the different leelas that they did to save the Vedas or save the earth or kill the demons, etc. Or what, like Parasaram, Keshavadrita Bhrigupati Rupa. Keshavadrita Bhrigupati Rupa. So this Parasaram is described there, and he represents, you know, ghastly ras, because they're representatives, but it doesn't mean they're representatives or the presiding deities of Braja Ras. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's just that what they're doing, what the form they're showing, and that's like I think he's ghastly ras. Gora, what's it called? Anyway, it's called Ghastly. And Jugipshita. There's a difference, Gona rasas. So they are represented, it's told, described sometimes like that. They're represented by the Das Avatar. But that's not, they're not representatives or the presiding deities of Braja Ras. presiding deity of Brajaras is only one. That's Krishna. That's why I said he's Rasarajji Krishna. And he's the relisher of Ras, and the Mahabhavati Radha. She is all the love, all the greatest love. The loving ecstasies are the unlimited reservoir ocean is within Radharani. And various waves and drops and rivers of her Ras are found in every other Brijvasi. But they're all these rivers and all these drops, they're all going into the one ocean of Krishna. So he's a Rasaraj. He's the source of all the rasas, and he receives all the rasas, and he displays all the rasas. So these demigods, they may be representing that, but don't pay much attention to that. That's a Mangala Charan for the Gita Govinda. Because basically, it's a very interesting point when you connect the two. The Dasavatar representing these different rasas, and most all these rasas you'll find in the Gita Govinda itself, and the exchanges of Radha and Krishna. And as the play unfolds in different acts, you know, Leelas of meeting and separation, Radha and Krishna. Some other question? Yeah.
I'd like to ask, in which rasa is Haridas Thakur in Braj Leela? Where is he?
Haridas Thakur, Braj Leela. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Haridas Thakur, what rasa is he in, or where does he fit in, or where is he in Braj Leela? I haven't read anything specifically about who's Haridas Thakur in Braj Leela. I'm not knowing about that. It may be mentioned somewhere, but I can't recall. I never remember reading it, whether he's even in Braj Leela. But in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it mentions that it explains, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains why it's considered that the Haridas Thakur represents an avesh or a manifestation of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma. So we generally hear in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is our Bhagavatam of Gaura Leela, the Vedavyasa avatar of Gauranga Leela is Vrindavan Das Thakur. So this is the Bhagavat. This is Srimad Bhagavatam is Mukhya Praman for all the Gaudiyas, and so is Chaitanya Bhagavat, same author, in two different forms, Vrindavan Das Thakur and Vedavyasa. So Vedavyasa is saying that he's Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma in a sense of what he represents, because he's Prahlad Maharaj. Because he represents the suffering of Prahlad Maharaj and the compassion. Prahlad Maharaj was suffering so much. His father Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways because he was a devotee of Vishnu. And when Nrisimhadev finally came and killed his father, demoniac father Hiranyakashipu, and saved Prahlad, then Nrisimhadev said, "What do you want? What boons and benedictions do you want? You're a prince, you're a kumar, a Nanda kumar. You're the son of a king. And what blessings and benedictions?" And then Prahlad Maharaj says, "I don't care anything about myself. I care about all these fools and rascals that aren't Krishna conscious. I want you to liberate the universe. I want you to benefit them. I don't care anything for myself." So he was tortured and suffered so much, and he was trying to be killed. But yet he was compassionate. So that aspect is there in Haridas Thakur. So he's considered Prahlad in a sense, not that Prahlad became Haridas Thakur. This isn't what Chaitanya Bhagavat says. Prahlad didn't become Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is representing a Prahlad-like qualities. That Prahlad's type of, the bhava of Prahlad is appearing there, or that mood. because he suffered so much that they were whipping him and caning him in 22 marketplaces to kill him because he was a believer in God or Vishnu, Vishnu, Hindu god. And he, at the same time, he was compassionate. He was praying to them, praying to the Lord, please forgive them, please bless them, and didn't take any offense. So that's one description of the relationship between Haridas and Prahlad. And as far as Lord Brahma, he's famous in the Bhagavatam for chapter 14 and 10th canto, his stutis, his prayers. He had very nice prayers. So, glorifying the Lord. So Haridas Thakur also has very beautiful prayers which he's offering in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and other places, prayers and glorification of the holy name and also Krishna. So these two are mentioned, but that Haridas Thakur is connected sometimes to Brahma and to Prahlad Maharaj. But I don't know, I haven't read more than that about Braj Leela. Has anyone heard? I haven't heard.
So why is it Mahaprabhu called him Namacharya, not Rupa Goswami or someone from
Rupa Goswami is a Rasacharya. He's a Rasacharya. And because I think I've seen there was some discussion where some other Gaudiyas, some sannyasis were asked about what's Prahlad, who's in a higher position, Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur, and the obvious answer is Rupa Goswami is far, far superior. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to preach because you have to see, this is my understanding, Haridas Thakur, he's representing Lord Chaitanya. I think even Lord Chaitanya called him that. He said, you're the Acharya, the holy name, maybe in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came for the Kali Yuga, Patita Pavan. Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Namra, Pachara, Tati Lagi, Pita Varnya, Chaitanya Avatar. The verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, in the Kali Yuga, Patita Pavan, that we're all fallen. We're petite, we're fallen. He came to purify us. Tati Lagi, Pita Varna, Chaitanya Avatar. Tati Lagi, Pita Varna. He took the varna, the color of pita, means golden. Who did that? The Chaitanya Avatar. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishnanam Sankirtan. So he, Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namara Prachar. So he came in Kali Yuga to preach the Nam. To whom? The fallen people. So Haridas Thakur, he represents a fallen person. The Mlecha and Yavana. Because it's India. All the avatars come to India. So this is considered, he was considered a fallen person, Mlechana Yavana, not following Varnashram system and coming from a group. Of course, he was pure from his very birth, the biography of Haridas Thakur, but he was appearing, at least externally, in a Mlechana Yavana family of cow killers and cow eaters. But he got the mercy of Advaitacharya, who preached to him first, and then he started following all the Vaishnava principles and chanting the holy name, actually from a very early age, from childhood practically. So he took very seriously the chanting of the Yuga Dharma for this age is Nam. So as a non-Hindu, as a non-Sanatan Dharmist, so he's a representative of the entire world. Because only a small portion of the, well, pretty big portion of the world, population-wise, I guess second most biggest country. But as far as the whole world, Hinduism is not the biggest religion by any means. I'm not even sure which one is. Maybe Muslim religion, I'm not sure. Muslims, Christians. Hindus is not the, probably Christians or Muslims, they're very big all worldwide. Hinduism is not that big. So Haridas Thakur was chosen by Lord Chaitanya because he's an archetypal fallen person of Kali Yuga, at least externally appearing that way. And he fully embraced the holy name as his personal bhajan. Lord Chaitanya wanted to say, see, look, here's the exemplar for the Kali Yuga, a Mlecha and a Yavana. He is now the Acharya for all the future Mlechas and Yavanas. He is a Namacharya. But he took up the name and he was threatened. He went against his culture. He went against his culture. He went against his religion of his birth to serve Krishna. And to chant his holy name. He was fearless. So he shows all the good qualities will be needed by people all around the world. Everyone will take shelter of Haridas Thakur and take strength from Haridas Thakur. It says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, one simply remembers Haridas Thakur, he gets so much blessings. He just says, Jai Haridas, Jai Haridas, Jai Haridas. Three times he says, Jai Haridas, Jai Haridas. There's a verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's the beginning of my Art of Chanting book, Mangalacharan. I forget, I get so much benefit and blessings just by remembering Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya was very, he was very intelligent that he picked him. Because everybody else around Lord Chaitanya was a Brahmin. Every single one of his followers is a Brahmin. Gangadas Pandit, Gadadhara Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they're all Brahmins, they're all Saraswat Brahmins. Every single person, Nityananda was a Brahmin, Advaita was a Brahmin, Gadadhara is a Brahmin, Srivas Thakur is a Brahmin. Practically every single follower is a Brahmin. And so they're all members of Varnashram Dharma in Hindu society. And then some of them were not. Govardhan Raghunath Das is a Kayast, but his father is a multi-billionaire. Govardhan Majumdar. Huh? Idra? He has to go to the kitchen. So he couldn't. He wanted. This is the Acharya. Acharya means behavior. Achar. Achar means behavior. Achar. So his behavior was that he behaved like this. He was so fearless. He was fearless in taking up bhakti like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly kept remembering the Lord. That's his perfection, Vishnu Smaranam. Although he was tempted to be killed like 15 different ways or something. And so Haridas was fearlessly serving the Lord by chanting. So it's obvious that he's the guru of chanting. He's a perfect person. Lord Chaitanya picked the perfect person to be the Acharya, and then he asked him to preach the glories of the holy name. Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's so much preaching of Haridas Thakur about the glories of the holy name, and also Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya wanted that, so he picked him. Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das, they're Ras and Prem, Rasacharyas, they're Mandris of the inner circle, they're Kaya View of Radharani's body. Direct Kaya View is Radharani's body. And expanded directly from her body, so you can't compare the position of Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Raghunath Das to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur can't say specifically what his other identity is. I'm under the impression he's always in Gaur Lila. And whatever Gaur goes throughout the universe with his Lila, Haridas Thakur will be there in the traveling roadshow. But Gaur in the form of Radha and Krishna, because Gaur is Radha and Krishna, Gaur and Gadadhar, Radha and Krishna. So Gaur is Radha and Krishna in Goloka Lila. I don't know if Haridas has any place over there. I can't say. I haven't read. I think it's time. Is it right? Jai Ho. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.